This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Instacart shopper thoughts.
How do they know exactly when this milk will expire? Does a milk sommelier take a sip and just like, no? Am I knocking on this melon to check its freshness or because I want to play the bongos? A little of both. Does bagging groceries teach you patience? Yes. Planning? Yep. How to build a cereal box fortress? You have no idea.
Download the Instacart app and we'll overthink shopping for you.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
When it comes to family vacations, there are a million different trips you can take. You can get your own trip to Texas. Or if you prefer a vacation from your family, you can always get your own leave the kids with grandma.
Yay!
Trip to Texas. So go to TravelTexas.com/get your own for the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours.
Salty Mike Malone was back. It just re-aired on TNT. From down 20 early in the second half to up 10, eventually winning by 8 and ousting the defending champions. What the heck did we just witness? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I'd love to hear from you. Producer Jay shared my babies on Facebook as well, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You have to check out those babies in a photo on your own. I know I still owe you Hawaii photos. However, something else came up. I need to write about my mom. She had a major milestone this weekend. It's important to me. I had to get her permission first, though. So that'll happen sometime in the next 48 hours. And then maybe Hawaii photos. Priorities, people. Hope you had a great weekend. 2 Game 7s on Sunday. I just asked you, what is a better phrase in sports than game seven? Now, a lot of you went sudden death. A lot of you went sudden death overtime or game over or series over or world champions. So good stuff. But a pair of game sevens, delicious for your Sunday. It was the Timberwolves who provided the exclamation point to the last game of the second round.
Nuggets won't foul here with 7 on the shot clock. Conley left angle, drives on Michael Porter Jr., runs it up, no, slam follow, Karl Anthony Towns, he soared in from the wing, he puts the Wolves up 7 with 39 seconds left.
How hard is it just to absorb a loss like this after going ahead by 20?
Next question, man. The season's over. That's what's hard. Being up 20. The season's over. You don't understand that. The season's over. It's hard. Stupid-ass questions.
All right, Mike Malone, a little salty. We have gotten used to this the last couple years, but tough look, tough listen for Mike Malone in the wake of what was a devastating loss. Shocking for the defending champions on their own court. We're pleased to welcome Matt Moore, who's just finished up his responsibilities covering this Game 7 in the Mile High City. I mean, we could go back to Game 6 where the Nuggets got blown out in Minneapolis. So it's not just Game 7. What the heck, Matt?
It's important here, before I talk about the Denver side of it, to give the Wolves all the credit in the world. This is the best defense that I've seen in 20 years. This is an all-time defense. They compete for every dribble, every pass, every possession, and they deserve all the credit in the world for pulling off the biggest comeback in the Game 7 in NBA history. The Nuggets ran out of gas. They pushed too hard in the first half. They played Joker an incredible amount of minutes in that first half. They disrupted his normal rotation, and Nikola Jokic was out of gas in that second half. And you saw it with the number of threes that he took. You saw it with the number of passive possessions that they had. And both he and Jamal Murray did not have enough in the tank. This Nuggets team has always been a team that would dig down and find more energy to outpace you, and they could not because of the amount of energy the Wolves took from them in the second half. And so they lose this huge 20-point lead. They got away from their offensive process, and the turnovers that they experienced are a product of, one, again, the Wolves are awesome, but also that's mental fatigue from how much had kind of been put on them. This Nuggets team came out of the All-Star break, tried to make a push for the one seed. We're like, we can do this. And then when they started to tail off a little bit and you could tell they were getting tired, they still kept pushing. And that took something from them. And I talked about it a lot of like, hey, probably push a little too hard here. You need to be healthy and completely rested for the playoffs. But they had to push all the way to the end. Still didn't get the one seed. Wound up with the two. Really looked unimpressive versus the Lakers, and now get beat by the Wolves in Game 7 with this massive collapse. And I think it's a lesson that sometimes you have to choose between, are you going to be your best when the playoffs come, or are you going to fight for seeding? Because sometimes you don't get to have both.
The Wolves themselves have been fairly schizophrenic at times. We saw them drop three in a row in the middle of this series. So why are they so spotty when it comes to that defense?
You know, I think the defense was really good, but part of it was just like Joker was incredible in Game 5. They got a good Jamal Murray first half in Game 3. And I think a lot of it, honestly, the story of the series is that neither of these teams could handle prosperity. So the Nuggets come in as the reigning champs after beating the Lakers in 5. Like, oh, yeah, it was hard, but whatever. And the Wolves came in and punched them in the mouth. And then the Nuggets go down and everyone buries them. And they spend 3 days, everyone spent 3 days praising the Wolves and talking about Anthony Edwards as the face of the league. And the Nuggets punch back like champions do. And they take 3, 4, 5. And then in Game 6, okay, you know what? Nuggets are back and they've solved Minnesota and they've got it under control. Well, Minnesota comes out and they throw as much as they can at the wall to get that win. And they pulled a lot of levers in that game to get that win. And it's one of the reasons why the Nuggets were able to build a 20-point lead. But then right when Denver goes up 20 in the final frame of the series, once again, can't handle that prosperity, took their foot off the gas. And I was in Ant's press conference after Game 2. And, you know, they were like, are you surprised that you were able to dominate like this? What are you expecting from Game 3? And he said, he was like, they're going to punch back, man. He's like, they just missed shots. They're going to punch back. But we're going to punch back, and we're both going to keep punching. And we'll see who comes out of it. And that, to me, is the story of the series. The Wolves kept punching, and eventually Denver didn't have anything left to get their gloves up. And that's why the Wolves are moving on.
Speaking of Anthony Edwards, man, he himself had a struggle in the first half as Jamal Murray is going off for 24 points in this Game 7. And then he catches fire, and the energy, it seemed like it was sparked by the defense. He really has been a story in and of himself in this series.
Yeah, I mean, he's been sensational. And it's cool to see these players arrive at this stage. And, you know, honestly, for me, a lot of it is him trying to figure out as the Nuggets adjusted to him. And he'll probably be better, you know, in the series going forward. I'm not sure, you know, we'll see how the Mavericks match up with them. But this is the first experience of him having this level of attention. The Nuggets were sending 4 defenders at him. When people were like, where's Ant in this game? I was like, he's being surrounded by 4 guys. And the Nuggets said, anybody but Ant has to beat us. And Karl Anthony Towns and Jaden McDaniels stepped up, and they made plays. And after the game, Karl Anthony Towns talked about how, you know, that's Minnesota Timberwolves basketball. That's not just about Ant. It's not just about me. It's about all of us together. When you have those types of teams that play that way, that's how you can make a run. You have to be more than just the sum of your parts. You have to be more than just your best players. And that was a gap between, honestly, this year's Nuggets and last year's Nuggets, and it was a gap this year between the Timberwolves and Denver.
Longtime NBA insider Matt Moore with us from Denver, where apparently Joker doesn't need to work out after Game 7, so a little quicker in his post-game comments. Speaking of post-game, Matt, we got salty Mike Malone. What was it like in that room as he's kind of putting the eulogy on the Denver Nuggets run?
Yeah, I mean, it was an emotional moment for Malone. You have to understand, some context here. His response was unfair to Bennett Durando from the Denver Post's question. And Bennett's cool because Bennett's pro and he's fine with Malone's response. But Malone comes in, probably didn't take long enough to wait before doing these press conferences. Malone lost his father to start the year, and that kind of held over this entire season for him. And you could tell that was really difficult. And then to go through this entire season and then to hit this point. And then also, by the way, the Nuggets press conference room, yeah, it shares a wall with the visiting locker room.
So Malone
had to do the entire press conference while the cheers, screams, hollering, and music and dancing of the Timberwolves was bleeding through the wall during his press conference. It's a pretty tough scene there. The Malone, honestly, overreacted in that moment, but then fell down and kind of gave better answers. It's a tough moment. It just kind of shows you Malone, one of the best things about him is he really does care. He wants to win, and he could tell how heartbroken he and the rest of the Nuggets were after this loss.
What did Joker have to say when he got into the room?
Well, we'll see, as he always says. We'll see. We need to get better. You know, they're the better team. Yeah, I think whoever wins a best of seven series, if you play seven games, they're the better team. His usual non-committal, we lost. You play some games, then you lose. Ugh. The best thing about Joker is that he doesn't take anything too seriously. He's never really heartbroken anymore. And the worst thing is, sometimes it can come off as, whatever. And that was kind of Joker's response. Whether that's how he actually was in the locker room or not, don't know. Because that's what he shares with us is a very much we'll see. You play, you give your best, and you hope it's enough. It wasn't good enough. We'll have to come back next year and be better.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence as we have a pair of Game 7s on Sunday, one in the West, one in the East. We now know the NBA's Final Four. Matt Moore is with us from Denver. So how do the Timberwolves match up with the Dallas Mavericks, who had their own rally on Saturday in stunning fashion against the top seed Thunder?
Man, it's going to be a fascinating series for a number of reasons, including the emotional aspect. The Mavericks were just overjoyed to win that series. They talked about how hard that series was. It was this series so hard. And I kind of looked at that and was like, guys, really? Because this team's like a college team with how old they are. They've never done this before. It's about to get a lot harder. However, I'll tell you on the other side, same thing here tonight, where, look, the Wolves have measured themselves against Denver all year. That's how they have measured themselves. Rudy Gobert has said repeatedly that they inspired him. The Nuggets inspired him. Ant, late in the season, called them the best team in the league. There is an unending amount of respect from the Wolves to this Nuggets team, and that's why winning meant so much. So now, it's Sunday night. You play Wednesday in a Western Conference Finals where the team hasn't been in that spot in 20 years. And so now, can the Wolves kind of center themselves and get back to a place where they're hunting again? Because it's very easy to be like, yeah, we beat the champs. It's all a breeze from here. No. Luka and the Dallas Mavericks are not done yet. And that's going to be a defensive battle. There's a lot of interesting cross matches. I honestly think both teams don't match up great defensively with the other. I think they're going to have a hard time guarding one another. As good as the Wolves defense is, they don't have a good counter for Luka Doncic. And as good as the Mavericks defense has been, especially protecting the rim, this is a whole other deal when it's Rudy Gobert, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Naz Reid. So it should be a fascinating series from a matchup standpoint, high defense. Every shot's going to really matter. Kyrie Irving versus Jaden McDaniels should be great. Anthony Edwards should have a much easier time, honestly, in this series. But it's going to be, I think, a really great matchup. The Wolves are rightly favored, especially with home court. But I'm not going to be surprised at all if the Mavericks take this series deep, deep into a number of games.
Coming up on Tuesday, the start of the Eastern Conference Finals. Celtics have been sitting around. They're waiting. What do we know about KP, if anything?
Still no word yet. I think they're probably going to hold him just because, to be quite honest, I don't think there's a lot of expectation that the Pacers are going to be able to put up much of a fight. Now, that can change very rapidly. But if they can buy a few extra days to get KP back before the finals, that's probably the right approach to take. We won't really hear anything about KP until he'll pop up as questionable. We'll get a report from one of them, from Adrian Wojnarowski or Shams Charania, and then he'll be good to go. But they're going to keep that pretty much under wraps because teams really don't want to reveal anything. They're never going to show the hand with these injuries. That's just how this goes.
Well, speaking of injuries, Jalen Brunson breaks his hand, and the Knicks were already shorthanded. They run out of gas. The Pacers shoot the lights out in their Game 7 on Sunday. Even if they get overwhelmed by the Celtics, what impresses you about Indiana's run to this point?
Man, they've just been so fun. This has been the most fun team this year. If you watch Indiana, they were just a blast to watch. And they've gotten breaks. Giannis got hurt. Dame got hurt. the Knicks' pets' heads fell off, basically. Everyone got hurt in that series. However, the Pacers still had to take it, and they came back from being down 3-2, defended home court, then went into New York and beat the brakes off the Knicks in the Garden before Brunson's injury. OG Anunoby's injury was obviously massive, but Indiana's taking it to them, and they have so much firepower, and they play so free. And their game plan, they are one of the best teams in the league at sticking with their game plan. You made a basket, don't care. We're running right back at you. We're going to try and score. And that's going to be a challenge, I think, for Boston, especially with the fact that Boston sometimes can get caught with shot variance. This is not a team that you want to go shot variance with because the Pacers have so many offensive weapons. This is the number one offense versus the number two offense in the league this season and in the playoffs. The Pacers, believe it or not, are the number two offense in the playoffs so far. It should be a offensive score fest. When the Celtics win, they're going to win by a ton. When the Pacers win, they'll win by a little. We'll see how many the Pacers can steal, but this is going to be, I think, a pretty good challenge for the Celtics, even though they're almost definitely going to advance.
Where are the Celtics vulnerable?
On the interior. So I think you're going to have a lot of problems with Pascal Siakam and Miles Turner. And Porzingis helps with some of that, but he also switches a lot on the perimeter. The Pacers, you kind of think of them as Tyrese Haliburton shooting and all these corner passes, but they are really good at attacking the rim. They're one of the best teams that attack at the paint in the league, and they do a lot of cuts and drives and slips, and the Celtics are kind of weak there. And when their offense bogs down, it really bogs down. Now, Indiana's defense is obviously suspect in a number of ways, but they do have some guys that can get after it. You saw that in that Knicks series with Aaron, with Nesmith and Nembhard to a certain degree, and Siakam. So if they can just find enough levers to pull to give their offense a chance, I don't think Indiana is completely dead in the water here. I don't see a lot of scenarios where the Pacers get out of the series to make the finals as a sixth seed, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is a little bit more competitive than maybe we think it's going to be based off of who the Pacers have faced.
Matt Moore is with us from Denver following a pair of Game 7s on Sunday. The Final Four is set. Meanwhile, business continues around the rest of the NBA. We've heard some weird rumors about what might happen with the Lakers and their head coaching job. So, Matt, what's the right fit there, considering they seem to have tried everything over the past couple of seasons?
I think the right fit is whoever LeBron wants. That's the situation that they're in right now. Is LeBron, his post-game comments after the loss of the Nuggets, and all of the reporting afterwards has been, yeah, he's going to exercise the option in his contract, and he's going to be a free agent, and they're going to have to give him everything he wants. He's going to want the contract, the money, the surrounding players. If they decide that he and Bronny want to play together, they're going to need to get Bronny, and they're going to need to get the coach. And that's one of the biggest reasons, obviously, why J.J. Redick, his podcast partner, is considered such a favorite to get that job. I don't know if that's the direction that they'll wind up going, but I do think it's going to be difficult. If the Lakers front office decides to take a risk and be like, no, we're going to hire our guy, you risk alienating LeBron further, which could be a real problem. And two, even if you do re-sign LeBron, do you want him going head-to-head with an inexperienced coach? There's not a lot of big names in the market. There's just not a lot of those guys that are available out there, which is why so many Lakers fans are hoping for Tyronn Lue to wind up somehow with the Lakers, but that doesn't seem likely. So I think that this is a very tricky situation, and the Lakers, once again, are going to kind of be trapped between trying to figure out next year and the end of LeBron's career and being a caretaker of the end of a legend's career and doing what's best for the franchise going forward, where they could use some ingenuity and a new voice. But that's hard to have when you have LeBron James on the roster.
It reminds me a bit of the end of Kobe Bryant's career with the Lakers.
A little bit. Yeah, there's some parallels there for sure where, you know, you're trying to take care of the end of this player's legacy because you're the Lakers and you're where legendary players go. That's how you get them, is you're known as the place where these players go and are taken care of. But at the same time, there's been so much behind the scenes conflict between Clutch Sports and the Lakers front office over the Russell Westbrook deal and what's gone on since the championship in 2020. It's okay. They're functional, but it's tense, and everyone around the league is kind of watching to see how this is going to play out. Everyone assumes LeBron's going back, but how much do you want to give him? I think it's going to be a tough question for the Lakers.
Mavericks and the Wolves in the West, which is kind of fun. Celtics and Pacers in the East. And Matt Moore will continue down the road toward a champion. You can find him on Twitter at HP Basketball, Mile High City, and Game 7. Matt, always good to catch up with you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Amy.
Okay, you're not going to believe this, but even as I'm talking to Matt about Kobe Bryant, I look up and Kobe Bryant is on SportsCenter. They're doing a feature on him coaching some high school young women. That's crazy. One of those moments that you can't make up. So the LeBron James future path obviously intersects with the Lakers, or they would like it to. I can't imagine he wants to start over somewhere else, but I could be wrong. I don't know LeBron personally. The LeBron-Bronny combo might sound interesting and it would be a first, but is it realistic for a team? I've even seen some NBA draft analysts indicate that if this wasn't LeBron's son, he wouldn't be getting drafted at all because it's too risky. The limited number of games he's played at the college level, well, limited number of days he spent as a player at the college level, right? And then couple that with the fact that he's had the heart issue and teams are just not sure they've seen enough of him, and he's a major risk. I don't know. If I'm the Lakers, as much as I appreciate what LeBron has meant to the franchise, it's not as though he spent his entire career there like Kobe Bryant. He is a Hall of Famer, and they did win a ring in the bubble with LeBron and Anthony Davis. But that's really the one blip on the radar. Not that you want to poo-poo any championship ring, and it is a banner for the Lakers, and it extended their legacy as a franchise, but it's been such a mess since he got there. Revolving door of players and coaches. And I'm not saying it's all on him. Part of it is the front office and who's making the decisions. Magic was there. Magic wasn't. Is Genie involved? Who's got Rob Pelinka's ear? I mean, who's actually making the decisions there? So it's not all on LeBron. But if you cater to him another year, you're essentially throwing it out the window. You're hiring someone just to appease LeBron. Is that really the reason to hire J.J. Redick? That blows me away. He's not a lifetime Laker. He's not. I don't know that you need to honor him by giving him everything that he wants. But that's just me. And I'm not the one making the decisions. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Coming up, we'll start to get into the golf. Maybe we'll do that at the bottom of the hour following the update. A brand new first-time major winner and a near-live upset. But that's obviously not the only thing that happened at Valhalla this weekend. From the time we got off the air on Friday, it was a brouhaha for the number one player in the world. You'll hear from him not only post-round Sunday, but also what that was like on Friday. Goodness, I mean, I couldn't go to bed until about 10 o'clock Louisville time on Friday morning because I couldn't stop following the story on social. And so it's 10 o'clock, 10:30. I'm like, Amy, go to bed for heaven's sake.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch's sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
He's about to tee off. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
It's a process, and she's going to be fine. She's figuring it out. She just needs to get a little bit of confidence right now. I think she's, taking some shots that she normally would knock down. But Naja Laney is one of the best defenders in the league. And she's just making it, they're making it really hard on her. We've got to do a better job of finding ways to get her some easier, more open looks.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Three games into the WNBA season, Caitlin Clark and the young Indiana Fever are still winless. But I get a call from my mom on Saturday evening. Did you watch the Fever play? I didn't, Mom. I actually have to go back and watch the condensed package, which I did to see the highlights, both Caitlin Clark's 22 points, as well as another impressive performance from the reigning MVP, Breanna Stewart. You'll hear from her momentarily. But yeah, three games, two of them on the road in the first 5 days of the season. And what I read is they have, I didn't go and count, I suppose I could, 7 games in 12 days to start the season. And so it's a lot, not just for Caitlin, as she makes the transition, the jump, without a break from college right into the pros, but for all of the young players, those coming straight from college, like an Angel Reese, right? I mean, this is it's not only the change from student athlete to professional athlete, but it's nonstop, right? There's really no break. And as much as Caitlin is an extremely talented basketball player, I just keep thinking there's got to be some fatigue. And if there's not yet, there will be. She's going to have to fight through it because of the way that the season goes. It's not this way for the NFL, right? College football players, they're done with their seasons in December. Now, do they make the circuit? They do pro days and workouts and the combine if they get invited. And they're having private meetings with teams if they're high-profile prospects. But they get drafted in late April, and they have a couple of mini camps, but they don't start playing until September. So there's a big break there. There's 9 months, essentially, without games that matter. That's a lot of time to get prepared. In the NBA and the NHL, the draft is following the finals, right? Following the championship round, which is late June. And then they don't start training camps until October. So it gives them a few months off. Definitely have time before their first games. Major League Baseball, right? They've got to run up in spring training before they ever get to, and they've got months before they ever get to their first games. The WNBA, because it needs to play opposite the NBA as much as possible, and there are reasons for that. I mean, the NBA and the WNBA, they're partnering together. But in order to use the same arenas in some cases, but also in order to have any fans whatsoever, you're talking about playing opposite the NBA season for the most part, for the regular season to be sure. And so they play right away, a month after she wraps up her college basketball season and gets drafted, she's already playing. So it's tough. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Fever 0-3. It was better against the Liberty on Saturday. She was 9 of 17, finally hit 4 of her triples. Best shooting efficiency, had another 8 turnovers, but also had 8 assists, 6 rebounds, and a steal. This is a young team, so they're still figuring it out.
we want to play fast. I think we're getting better at that. I think it would be easier if we were able to string some more stops together. You know, like Kel said in the locker room, like it's hard to play fast when we're just continuing to cancel out each other's buckets. Like that's not really too beneficial for us. Like we go down and score and then we can't get back in transition defense. So I think there's a balance there that we have to find. And but we definitely want to play fast. But I think there can be times where we can slow it down a little bit after we turn the ball over a couple times and maybe just get into something. But, you know, that'll come. You'll learn that. And but overall, yeah, I think we want to play fast. We have people that can run the floor. Yeah, it'll only get better for sure.
So they want to play fast. They want to play up tempo. They want to go, 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 which can take some energy. How is she handling this nonstop schedule? Going back to the start of her own season, all of the media attention, the nationally televised games, the pursuit of the scoring records. It seemed like every single game there was a new record that Caitlin Clark took over as her own. Then they go into the Final Four, the record viewership, the sellout crowds, right into the draft, the awards circuit, the TV and radio interviews. The spotlight has been white hot. By the way, did you hear the Liberty set a new league record, $2 million in ticket revenue for their game against the Fever on Saturday. That is what she brings to the table. And so, yeah, this is a very heavyweight, a lot of pressure and stress on her. Even if she handles it extremely well, what is she doing to make sure she doesn't burn out?
I think just taking care of your body, taking care of your mind. But also, I'm just trying to remind myself, like, I know this is my job now, but, like, I have fun playing this game, and I think that needs to be my focus through the course of this year is just, like, have fun. That's when I'm at my best, too, and that's when I was at my best in college. So, you know, it's the same situation for every rookie coming in here. You can make whatever excuse you want, but there is no excuses. Players that are in this league were rookies once before. They dealt with the same thing. So everybody goes through it. You know, it's obviously not ideal for your body, but I think it just – you know, makes you kind of grow up a little bit, makes you mature a little bit, makes you become a real professional athlete and finding ways to take care of your mind, take care of your body. And but at the same time, like, it shouldn't be hard for you to wake up and play a basketball game when you get to do that for a living.
Ooh, how much fans love to hear that. There's no load management for Caitlin Clark. Nope. She wants to remember it's a privilege and a joy to play hoops, to hoop for a living. Breonna Stewart, the MVP, reigning MVP, she has been very complimentary. In fact, even comparing her situation with all of the expectations coming out of UConn, national championships, player of the year awards, all that jazz. She's been complimentary of Caitlin and certainly has had a chance to see her up close now because two of the three games between the Fever and Liberty have happened in the last 3 days.
She's a knockdown shooter. And she has that range. And, you know, obviously when you come into this league and you're a number one pick, everyone's going to know where you are on the court at all times. She's looking to make that the pocket pass and continue to, that's going to be the growth of this team over the season is them figuring out what the right spots are, depending on what defenses they're going to do. So, you know, I think that us up here, it's respect. Obviously, we know she's a great player and just trying to do whatever we can to make it tough.
Don't let that last phrase get lost in all of it. Yes, we can be complimentary, but we're trying to do whatever we can to make it tough for her. When she gets hot, when she has a huge game, as the fans in our own arena are rooting for an opponent, oh yeah, we've got some pride and some pride and some desire to show her that it's not going to be as easy, to show her that this is what happens to rookies when they come into our house. You just kind of expect that when you transition to the next level. All right, coming up, first time major winner. It's not Scottie Scheffler, who turns out to be the story of the weekend, even dwarfing the fact that Tiger Woods did not make the cut. Man, talk about drama on the high seas. Oh, just kidding. Louisville's not on the high seas, but it sounded good coming out of my mouth. Valhalla, does it ever host a...
The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So, get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians premieres May 23rd, streaming on Hulu.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rips, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nail salon and grocery store.
Wait, she's at the nail salon and the grocery store?
I'm at the combination nail salon and grocery store. Groceries through Instacart delivered to my door. I don't have to choose between acrylics and the grocery store.
Again, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
On the golf course, I've always been proud of my toughness out there. I think I love competing. I love, you know, trying to get the most out of my game out here. And, you know, I typically try to keep the off course life as quiet as possible. And, you know, this week obviously was not that way. And so it was a bit different in that sense. But, you know, I'm proud of how Tay and I went around this week and competed and, you know, was able to post a decent finish towards the end of the week, kind of running on fumes.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Scottie Scheffler on Sunday afternoon when he finally finished his PGA championship. Not easy. You got to give him credit, even though he had to have an altered tee time and spent a few minutes maybe in a jail cell on Friday morning after getting hauled away in handcuffs for the world to see. He gets back to the golf course after he's arrested and booked and charged. Hosts a red number on Friday, stays in contention, only then to struggle a bit on Saturday and kind of fall off the pace. But a 5-under on Friday, and he was still right there in the mix going into the weekend. On Saturday, maybe he's tired. Maybe he said he didn't even eat on Friday night, and it kind of dawned on him he wasn't hungry at 9 o'clock at night after everything that had happened. His worst score in more than 250 days, that was Saturday, though he was better again on Sunday. Whatever you think of what happened at Valhalla, whatever you think of Scheffler and if he's guilty, not guilty, this is what we do in the United States, right? We jump to conclusions about a situation that we are only reading about or hearing about and maybe not all that informed. But man, the hot takes, you know how that goes in the wake of something like this. Whatever you think of Scottie Scheffler, if you believe him or you believe the officer's account, which I'll go over, the fact that he was able to golf through the weekend and actually finish in the top 10, his 10th top 10 finish in his past 13 majors. That's why he's the number one player in the world. But he was number one in the headlines for a completely different reason on Friday morning, right after we got off the air here. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I'm not even home, and the news is already breaking on Friday morning. And I had rushed out because my husband had to get to a doctor's appointment, and so I needed to get home, wanted to see him before he went. So as I'm going to bed and he's already gone, I'm just paging through my phone and it's blowing up with the accounts from Jeff Darlington of ESPN, who was there. He's the one that filmed the video in the dark, mind you. That's how early this was. And for those of you who only know part of the story, there was an accident, sadly, outside the entrance to Valhalla on Friday morning. It was actually the second time in 2 days that there was an accident right outside the entrance. Apparently the traffic was a disaster. Those who were working in law enforcement out front really didn't have a good handle on the situation. It was raining. And a worker, an event worker, passed in front of a shuttle bus, whether it be the rain, the dark. I don't know who had the right of way. I just know that a man was hit by the shuttle bus and he died on the scene. And in that chaos and that investigation by police and trying to sort that out, of course, attend to the man, the shuttle bus driver, as you can imagine, the people who are on the shuttle bus, this is all very traumatic. In the middle of all of this, you've got golfers who are trying to get to the course. And that includes Scottie Scheffler. Had an early tee time. And as he tells it, now there's obviously two versions of this story. Usually the truth falls somewhere in between. As he tells it, he thought he had the go-ahead. He was in an official marked PGA Tour vehicle, and he thought he had the go-ahead to be able to drive around the accident scene, even though traffic was blocked off in both directions. He says he thought he had the permission to drive around it, and in doing so, drew the attention of another officer who was standing out in the middle of the road who tried to get him to stop. That officer reportedly reached either into the car or reached onto the vehicle and ends up getting dragged. And as the police report indicates, Scotty accelerated instead of slowing down with that officer hanging onto his vehicle. Again, there are multiple versions of this. But really difficult, as you can imagine, in the middle of what is already a tragic situation, for then law enforcement to have to deal with something like this. And they didn't know who he was. I'm not sure if they even recognized the vehicle was an official PGA marked vehicle in the middle of all of that. But they didn't realize who he was, as Jeff Darlington tells it. The law enforcement officers on the scene were actually asking him who this guy was, who Scottie Scheffler was. And so he gets arrested. He gets walked away and put into the back of a squad car in handcuffs. He gets booked on multiple charges. And then has to turn around and play golf. Now, granted, it could be a lot worse. I get it. He plays a game for a living. But he fights through those 18 holes. He stays in contention and then speaks to the media afterwards about what that Friday morning was all about.
I don't really know. I feel like my head's still spinning. I can't really explain what happened this morning. I did spend some time stretching in a jail cell. That was a first for me. You know, that was part of my warm-up. I was just sitting there waiting, and, you know, I started going through my warm-up. I felt like there was a chance I may be able to still come out here and play, and so I started going through my routine. I tried to get my heart rate down as much as I could today, but like I said, you know, I still feel like my head's spinning a little bit, but, yeah, I was fortunate to be able to make it back out and play some golf.
That level-headed, even-keel personality, the one that people talk about as being relatively boring and not charismatic enough to draw viewers or draw new fans to golf. Remember, we've talked about this with Matt Adams. We've talked about it here on the show. Scotty's kind of vanilla. He's not like a Tiger Woods. He's not a big, bold personality that attracts people. Which is why, another reason why golf is struggling a bit. Because there are a lot of people who couldn't pick Scottie Scheffler out of a lineup. Sorry, pun intended. But that's really the point, is they wouldn't know him if he walked by him on the street. And yet here is this mild-mannered guy who gets arrested and thrown into the back of a police car on Friday morning before his round. And yeah, he's watching TV, watching coverage of it in his jail cell.
there was a TV there, and I could see myself on the TV on ESPN, and it was Get Up was on, and so in the corner it showed the time, and it said they were delayed, and I was kind of thinking about my tee time. I was like, well, maybe, you know, I could be able to get out. You know, the officers downstairs had, you know, they were discussing how long it was going to take me to get released. You know, obviously you have to go through all the due process and everything, and, you know, I was able to kind of see a bit of the TV, and, you know, then I laid down, and then I started to stretch a little bit once I got my heart rate down a little bit.
The only indication that anything was crazy is that his heart rate was up. He mentions that multiple times. The police officer who tried to get him to stop or stuck his arm into the vehicle, the one who was dragged to the ground, reportedly suffered pain, swelling, and abrasions. This comes from the police report, to his wrist and knee after the car accelerated. So this was the officer who was directing traffic near gate one of Valhalla. And as I say, all of the traffic had been stopped around 5 o'clock Eastern time because a man got hit by a shuttle bus and died there on the scene. And this police report indicates the detective, Gillis was his name, standing in the middle of the westbound lanes when Scheffler's SUV pulled into those lanes to avoid the traffic backup. The detective said he was wearing a full police uniform, a high visibility yellow reflective rain jacket. He stopped the SUV, tried to give instructions, but then Scotty's vehicle accelerated, according to police. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Are you a fan of mystery and adventure? Introducing June's Journey, the captivating free-to-play mobile game that will ignite your inner detective. Play as June Parker in a thrilling murder mystery adventure as you search for hidden objects to uncover the truth behind her sister's death. Step into the glamorous world of the Roaring Twenties with stunningly illustrated scenes and over 1,000 mysteries to unravel. With new chapters added weekly, you'll never run out of clues to chase and suspects to interrogate. Plus, you can build your own island escape with beautiful gardens and buildings and even join a detective club to collaborate with other players. Experience the thrill of being a detective and unravel the mystery in June's Journey. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device or play on PC through Facebook Games.